Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, Kingdom citizens. It's another day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to Let's Talk Kingdom with Katrina. So excited to have you on the air with us today. It is a wonderful Friday. Ready for the weekend? I know I am. Well, I am not going to delay it any longer. We have a special guest with us tonight, Pastor Greg Hogan. I want to read a little bit about him before I bring him on the air. Pastor Hogan is the pastor of Cove Chapel and has been there for 15 years. He is a director of Hope and Compassion Ministries in Conway, Arkansas, which is a ministry that reaches out to addicts. He says, we get to the root of the problem and uncover the issues at hand, not just the addiction. They are a 501c3 nonprofit, and they take donations through GoFundMe.com. Their website is definitely, we'll put that on out on our screen for you guys to see that on the Facebook page. And without further ado, I want to bring Pastor Greg Hogan on the air. Pastor Hogan, are you with us tonight?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
How are you
thank
today?
Thank you for having me. I am
well,
wonderful.
Thank you for coming on. We are so glad to have you on the air tonight. I want to just dive right on in. I read a little bit about your bio, but for purposes that I always like to do, let's open up with a word of prayer before we get started. Father
All right.
God, we thank you. We honor you for this day. We thank you for allowing Pastor Hogan to come on and to bless our listening audience. Father God, if there is anyone on the air that is dealing with issues, Father God, we ask you to let him speak on those issues right now, Father God, so they may become free, Father God, because that is what you have called us to be, free in you, God. So we thank you, have your way, forgive us. If there's anything that we may have said or done throughout the day that wasn't pleasing in your sight, and we just want you to have your way in this interview and let our listening audience be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, now, Pastor Hogan, now you are in Arkansas, so kind of tell me, is that your hometown?
Yes, it is. I've been here all my life, an Arkansas boy.
Now, tell me, what kind of started you into pastoring and then birthing this awesome Hope and Compassion Ministries? Because a lot of times when God, you know, gives us something, it has been something that has been in our spirit probably, we know, since the foundation of the world. So kind of talk a little bit about, you know, your childhood, your upbringing, until how you got to this point today.
Well, my childhood, it was pretty much Southern raised. You know, I was raised in church, and when I got to be 17 or so, I started rebelling and went down that road of drugs and alcohol, and so went down that path. And then when I come back to the Lord, I got saved, and really what you call getting radically saved. And so what I did was, I started dealing with people in addictions almost right off the bat, and that's been almost 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And as I went along, I realized that people, rehabs and all these things, it would became a revolving door. People mm-hmm. would go in, they'd get out, and they'd go in, and they'd get out. And I really started seeking the Lord on that, and the scripture came to mind, you must lay the axe to the root. And that's our concept behind Hope and Compassion, is that you must get to the root of the problem to actually get into, actually I was in the addiction ministry before I was a pastor. And so it wasn't, you know, I've been dealing with people in addictions a lot longer than I have been a pastor. And so, but when I got into churches, I realized that honestly, the churches wasn't helping. They didn't know how to get to that root of the problem. And I've heard it all through pastoring. People come to me and they go, I'm struggling with this addiction and I've been to this one or that one, and they didn't have an answer for them. They just, well, just pray about it. Well, you know, that's, what am I praying on? You know, what am I praying about? And and I really started seeking the Lord on, you know, you hear a lot of times, I've talked with many addicts who, you know, they've had people in church tell them, just lay it at the altar, do that. And what are you doing when you do that? What are you laying at the altar? Well, lay your addiction. Well, it goes deeper than that. And so through pastoring, and as I started pastoring a church and ministering to people in the church, ministering to people out in the streets, I keep hearing this same recurring thing. There's got to be a root. There's got to be a root to it. There has to be something that caused it, because we're a three-part being. Yes. We're a spirit, soul, and body. Yes. And we have a wounded soul that people are dealing with or not dealing with. And we have that wounded soul that needs to be healed. Jesus said, I came to heal the brokenhearted, bind up the wounded spirit. And that's what we do. We get them healed up, and then they don't have to self-medicate anymore.
Yeah, I love it. Now, Pastor Hogan, I think this is just all God, because I actually, I work for a company where we do medical billing for drug rehabilitation, predominantly in the Florida area. And even though we're not in the facility, we see the billing that comes through on the individuals. And it's amazing how these facilities, like you said, they are just pretty much touching just the surface. They're not really, because we see by the billing that these people keep coming in over and over again, month after month after month, year after year after year, and even sometimes at the different facilities, because you get familiar with names. You understand when you're in this business. So I love that you are getting to, like you said, the root, because everything, there is a cause and effect to everything. So something has happened and been deposited in that individual that has made them choose to do drugs or alcohol or whatever addiction may be, porn, whatever it may be. Sometimes we can even be addicted to church. So kind of talk about your steps and how you guys reach people of, you know, addiction facilities, and how you go in and you really touch base and help them understand, we want to get to the root of this problem.
That's right. Well, one of the things that we start out, of course, you know, any type of counseling type situation, is that you got to build that relationship with them. And a lot of people don't realize, if you ask most addicts out here that, well, where's your pain? They don't know, because they have incorporated their pain into their life to the degree that they don't know they have pain. It's kind of like, you know, you hear people that was raised in poverty. They didn't know they were poor until they come out of it and go, oh, we were pretty poor. Well, you know, that's the same way that happens with people that are raised in dysfunction. They don't realize that what they're living in is dysfunctional, and that's not the norm, you know.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
They think how it is.
That's normal. Yeah, they think that's normal.
That's just normal.
Exactly.
That is normal to them. You know, so when you get to the point and you start asking these questions, and what I found it, because the devil only has a bag full of tricks. The Lord's only going to, you know, the Bible says that temptation to man is common to man. So he's not coming up with new tricks all the time. He don't need to because the old ones are working just fine.
Yes, and exactly.
So what we found is there are certain areas that we really hone in on. Number one is people's fear of rejection. Everybody wants to be accepted. They want to be loved. They want to be just love me for who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make me perform for you. Don't make me do anything. Just love me for who I am.
Yes.
That's one of the things that we emphasize, and I emphasize with everybody that works with me. You love these people for just who they are.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just love them right where they're at. And so that's number one, is because you get them to feeling like they're worth loving, then you can get them to feeling, you know, dealing with their issues. And,
yeah.
And one of the things that I have found through the years, and this is where our society has broken down the family system. Most, because I deal with, right now I'm dealing with three rehabs that
mm-hmm.
I go work with people in these rehabs. And I'm taking this into the maximum security unit, the prison system.
Okay.
So so what I found is a breakdown of a father-child relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so amazing how many people have daddy issues. They're wanting that approval from that father.
Mm-hmm.
They want that approval from daddy. They want daddy to tell them that. I can't tell you how many men that I've sat across from, grown men, 30, 40, 50 years old, tears rolling down their face, going, all I wanted is for my dad to tell me how proud he was of me. And
wow.
I never and I hear that over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of our, you know, hope and compassion. That's how we come up with the name, because Jesus, it says, Jesus had compassion on them and he healed them all.
Yeah.
And you got to be able to love these people right where they're at. And what happens is what a lot of times what happens is that, you know, not to bash churches or anything, but they get to that point and they don't know what to do with them, because most ministers are dealing with issues themselves or not dealing with issues themselves.
Exactly.
And so that's where we start. And once you get these folks, you know, going, I never saw it like that. I never knew that that's what I was dealing with. And once they start dealing with these issues and start tearing these scabs off of these old wounds, then they can get healed.
Exactly. Now, let me ask you a question. How do you, because, I mean, sometimes I think that we forget that these people, or most of them, have used their body, whatever, you know, they used to get what they wanted. How do you break down and get them to understand that I don't want anything from you? Do you understand where I'm coming from with that question? Because a lot of times they've been, it's a female, she's been using her body to get what she wants. And, you know, to get a man or get acceptance or whatever. And when you come to them, you say, I don't want anything from you. How long does it take you to, you know, to get through to them? You know, I know sometimes it may take longer for one or the other, but I'll kind of talk about that a little bit, because I think that's very important for our listening audience to understand that process.
See, one of the things when you're talking about that, they have gotten into this thought pattern. You know, they have, this thought pattern has become part of their life. And and that's how they think. And so it's kind of like, you know, if you're going to break a habit, you got to break up the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing that we do We work with their thought patterns. We work with when do you triggers. We work with their triggers. When does this occur? When does that occur? When, you know, and start breaking up your thought pattern, because you got to change the way you think. Because one of the things about addictions is I found it's not just a spiritual issue. It's not just a soul issue, and it's not just a body issue. We're a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. And when you're dealing with addiction, you have to take care of all three of them. And, you know, and so when they come in and they get into that cycle of manipulation and, you know, trying to manipulate the system, that's where you gotta start breaking that. And you got to be bold. I mean, we have to be bold. Say, no, no, let's back up. So that's not happening. So let's back up and retrace this. You know, what is it that you're wanting just right there? And one of the things that we like to do, and we also do with a lot of them when they start that, okay, what are you trying, what wound are you trying to pacify or heal? What is it that you're trying to fulfill right now? With saying that, because it's usually rejection. They're going to tell me whatever they think I want to hear.
Exactly.
Because
exactly.
They don't want me to reject them, especially after you've been meeting with them for a while and you build that relationship with them for a while and they, you know, they start liking you and you start, they know that you love them and then, you know, then they mess up. I find that what you're talking about a lot when people will relapse. And they go, oh, they go AWOL on me. And I don't hear from them for several weeks, you know, and pretty soon they'll call me back up and go, you know, and it's so funny. They go, well, I've been out using, and I'm thinking, you think? You know, you hadn't heard from me in a month. And then one of the things that I hear more than anything else, they'll go, so are you going to give up on me? No, I'm not going to give up on you. See, they expect people to give up on them.
Exactly.
And sometimes they'll even do things to see if you're going to give up on them. And so that's what, you know, I found that, you know, they'll pull these little rejection tricks. Are you going to give up on me? Are you going to quit? Are you going to quit on me? And, you know, so that's kind of how we start breaking that thinking pattern. Okay, tell me why you're thinking that. You know, why would you think I would give up on you? You know, and start getting them to rationalize or thinking about, I don't know, why am I thinking that? You know, because they're reacting out of their wounded. Is what they're doing.
Yes, exactly. And even just the point of holding them accountable, you know, a lot of times, you know, because you've been rejected, you know, you don't want to be held accountable. You just say, you know what, I don't want to do this, you know. And that's the thing, you know, sometimes you have to make them be held accountable for their actions. And even just wanting to get out of that, if you really want to get out of that, you know, you don't have to prove to me, because that's a lot of times with, you know, just issues with their family, you know, they've had to feel like they had to prove, and there was so much pressure. There's so much pressure
to
prove and get a love and acceptance. But it's not, you know, you have to teach them, like you said, that mindset, changing that mindset. I love that. Now, Pastor Hogan, let me ask you a question. Do you have a team that works with you, or do you kind of do most of the ministry by yourself?
Oh no, I have a team. Yeah, I have a team that works with me. So yeah, and you know, you were saying that's so true. What you were just saying, that performance, what I call that performance mentality.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to perform so that people will love them. And that's what gets them into, you take somebody that's been sexually abused. Well, they learn to perform at an early age, even though it was a perverted form that was a performance mentality. And so that's how they kind of set their pattern through life. I've got to perform to have people accept me. So just what you're saying, they just get into this performance. Then they finally just throw their hands up and say, I can't perform anymore because I just can't. I can't do it. We have a team that works with me, and it really just depends on who we're dealing with, on who works with who, you know.
Okay. Do you have some of your former, I'm not going to call them clients or anything like that, but do you have any on your team that have been, that you've ministered to, and now they have come out and their lives have changed, and now they have attached themselves or latched onto the vision that you're doing and now helping you to push this ministry forward?
Actually, I have three that works with me.
Okay.
That have been through the program and been through the healing process and been through all that. Yes, I have three of them that actually have come out of it. So
that's fantastic. Now, one of the other questions I was going to ask you, because I know I've had the opportunity to be a part of some of the NAA and, you know, Narcotics Anonymous and, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, events where, you know, they give them the medallions and they come out for some, you know, so many years. Do you guys partner with any of those type of organizations?
No, not really. I will, you know, if people want to go to those, then, I mean, I won't, you know, stop them, but, you know, I just think that the self-fulfillment is enough, you know, because once they get healed, it's so amazing. Once they get healed, because we don't look at you being clean 30 days, you've been, you know, you're free. Once you get healed, you're free. You know, the son is free indeed. So, you know, you're not always going to be an addict. You're not always going to be an alcoholic. You're free. Jesus said I'm free. And, you know, that's the concept that we look at it from. We look at it from the standpoint of now support groups and stuff like that. I have no problem with that. But, you know, I like more, let's look at just getting you free.
Because
the goal of our organization is to get people to the point to where you don't have to depend on a meeting, or you don't have to depend on anything. You just depend on Jesus, and he will, you know, and then you go, you know, live life to the fullest and be who God has called you to be. And that's our goal. That's how we look at things. And, I mean, we've had very successful rate of people that's getting free. And it's so amazing that once they kind of realize the root of that problem, it's what I have, we call short-term, mid-term, and long-term. You know, some people, once they get to the root of it, you can just see their light go off and go, wow. You know, and they just take it and run with it. And, you know, and addictions, it's not just drugs and alcohol. I mean, we deal with all kinds of addictions, and it's just people are reacting out of their woundedness is what they do. And that's how whether you chose drugs or chocolate, it doesn't matter. You know, so you're still reacting out of your woundedness.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm going to piggyback off something you said, and, you know, it just made me think, because you are right. As I think about this, when I did, you know, go to support someone at a NAA or AA meeting, when they get up to speak, they say, hi, I'm so-and-so, and I'm an addict, no matter how long they've been clean. And it makes me go back and think about, you know, life and death is in the power of the tongue. So if you say that you are clean and you've been clean 8, 9, 10, 15 years, but then you go and then you speak this out of your mouth, you are still perpetuating that spirit of addiction.
Exactly. You are speaking it right over yourself. And, you know, I'm an addict. Well, no, you're not. If Jesus set you free, you're not an addict anymore. I was an alcoholic. And I was a alcoholic by the time I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I wasn't even old enough to buy alcohol, but I was already an alcoholic. But when Jesus set me free, I was no longer an alcoholic. And I don't look at myself as an alcoholic. People say, oh, well, you're always going to fight it. No, if you're still fighting it, you're not free.
Yes, yes, I totally agree.
You know, I mean,
I
can go to a restaurant and where they're serving alcohol, and I don't sit here and go, oh, we got to get out of here because I'm afraid I'm going to drink. I mean, no, it's I'm free from that. And so that's one of the, I'm glad you brought that up, because that is one of the issues that I have with those programs, is because of that very thing. It's like you're standing at reinforcing, and to me, this is my personal opinion, they've traded one addiction for another. Now you're addicted to this support group.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't go to the support group, you know, then I'm going to fall off the wagon. Well, you know, that it shouldn't work that way. You should be free.
Wow. That's so true. That's absolutely incredible. Now, have you thought about taking your concept and your program and how you do it and thought about fostering it or taking it to other cities or states for them to take on that same concept? Do you do that?
Yes,
right
I,
now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Talk about that.
Okay. Actually, right now I am putting together a training manual on the steps we take, the concept that we have, and I am putting that together. I would like to see this in every city in Arkansas and every state around, because I found it works. And I've been doing it for almost 30 years, and it works. You know, I've seen it work. I've watched it work in people's lives. And I just see how free people get. And it's really a major passion for me. I would love to get people involved that would, you know, that would want to take this and bring it to their hometown. That's, I mean, the prison system here is one of the prisons that we go to, which is maximum security. They are really excited about me training people down there for it. So yes, and if people are out there and they are interested in getting something like this, I would be more than interested, you know, talking to them and because it works.
Amen. And now tell our listening audience how exactly can they get in touch with you if they want to, you know, introduce this to their area.
Okay. They can like us on Facebook. Hope and Compassion Ministries are on Facebook. They can email me at gfhogan@aet.net. And they could email me, Facebook me, and we hadn't got our website completed yet, but we are still working on that. I just keep adding things to it, so but we will have a website up pretty soon. If anybody would be interested in doing that would be great, because I think that this is, you know, one of the things that I found that works.
Amen. Well, Kingdom Citizens, I want you to definitely take this information that you've heard tonight and, you know, help us spread it all around the country, all around the world, because it's a concept that is working, and we have to get to the root of the problem. I truly believe that. Pastor Hogan, I always ask our guests, to close us out with a word of prayer. We are right at the top of the hour, and if you would, I would be so honored if you would close us out tonight.
You bet. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the ones that are listening to this program tonight. I ask you, Father, to let these words go deep into their heart, soul, and spirit. And, Father, if there is someone that is struggling with addiction right now, Father, I ask you to touch and move on their hearts, Father. Lord, we love you. We praise you. I thank you, Father, for this program. Lord, I thank you for the power of God to go forth out from this program, Father, to just touch hearts and lives, oh Lord. Lord, we praise you for everything that you're doing. And Lord, I give you the glory and the honor that people are set free, that they're being set free from addiction, that they are being set free, Father, from every addiction that has them in bondage. And I give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Kingdom Citizens, we are at another end of a wonderful show. If you want to have your family or friends listen to this recorded show, it'll be out in the archive in about 5 to 10 minutes. So you definitely need to, if you have someone in your family, if you know anyone that is dealing with an addiction, have them to listen to this program and then have them to reach out to Pastor Greg Hogan out of Conway, Arkansas, because I'm telling you, this God, I believe that, and I truly will be passing that information along. Pastor Hogan, we love you. We thank God for you. We'll keep praying for you, and we will definitely let people know that you need donations as well, so we'll post more information out on our Facebook page to help you push forward this ministry that God has mandated for you. Amen?
Amen.
Well,
thank you so
much. Oh, you are so welcome. We thank God for you. And I have to give a shout out to my production assistant, Krista, for hooking this interview up tonight.
Amen. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for having me. And it's been a pleasure.
Amen. Well, good night, Kingdom Citizens. And as we always say, let's talk.